Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What's happening? Where's Nuno at? Nuno.
Nuno.
Nuno. Nuno. Nuno.
He is calling.
Nene.
Wow. I'm working on trying to find our next guest.
All right. Well, I mean, I was just going to ask you about the NDAs,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I mean, we can have a real conversation. I mean, yeah. We don't know. We in this.
So set it up for me because I'm interested in trying to understand the NDA.
Sure. We all know about NDAs in terms of athlete, Hollywood types, having people sign NDAs, whether if they come over to their home, relationships, that type of thing.
Yes.
There's a young lady in Hollywood that allegedly has gentlemen sign an NDA and with, I think, $1 million penalty if they break it. And we were just, you know, we don't rock in that world, so we were just kind of curious about that stuff.
Well, what I would say is, according to a news outlet in Yahoo.com, they, interviewed Laura Harvey, who's a, you know, socialite, celebrity child, and she dates, you know, she's grown and she likes to date and whatever. And apparently, I guess she has individuals sign NDAs while they're going out and dating, which I've never heard of before. I know NDAs when you go to parties because people have wild parties and, you know, they like to wear masks and do all type of wild things, and so they have people sign NDAs.
You know how Key always talks about New York? This is some real L.A. stuff.
No, totally,
masks.
Totally L.A.
Masks and
yeah,
masks.
Max, I can tell you off air, trust me, but I've never heard somebody say, hey, you're going out with me, you have to sign an NDA. This is some new stuff. And now you want $1 million if it gets out or something? That's wild to me, Yates. I ain't never heard that.
Yeah, you like put $1 million penalty kicker. And you're hoping they spill the beans.
It's like a contract kicker. Like, you know, you get X amount of catches, extra $100,000. Like, you talk too much, you owe me a mil, dog. And
yeah, that's so weird, though.
I like it. Control that. Your narrative, shorty.
No, I don't think narrative. I could go out with you if you having me sign some paperwork. Like, what?
We're presented by Progressive
like, miss
Insurance.
Me.
Yeah,
miss me
I'm
means forget about me.
I'm signing that, Jordan, though. I'm not even going to hold
Max,
it.
Max, just in case you wanted to hear, miss me, that means like, miss me like you
oh,
go
I know.
About
I
your
use
business.
Miss me. Since yeah, I started doing me. This show, I you can miss me with that all day.
Yeah, go miss me. I don't give a damn how good looking, pretty, all that. I don't care. I'm not signing some paperwork so we can go on a date. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Max, I'm signing it in blood. No questions asked. I ain't gonna tell nobody nothing. Show me the paperwork.
Put my immortal soul on the line.
I'm not gonna be able to do it. Can't do it. Now, if you're telling me to come to your party at your house, that's different. I respect that, but I can't to go
Hold
out
up.
With
You'll
you.
You sign not? An NDA to go to a party.
To go out with you?
What date? Mm-hmm. I ain't going no date. That would be me all the time.
But if you're talking about a party. Because there's so many different people at this party that I'd sign it because you're signing it and we're all at this party. I don't want you knowing what I'm doing. You don't want me knowing what you're doing. And I know there's people there. I'm okay with that. But me and you, one-on-one? Why would I? For
because,
what?
Well, this is what for?
If you're that worried, don't date me.
If you don't want people at a party talking, it might not work out. You don't know this person like that yet. So now you're dating them, and now you guys get intimate, and that includes in conversation. And you don't if you want to sign it for a party because you don't want people to know, you definitely don't want people to know your more intimate stuff. So it really you're just saying don't
you
don't
going
talk about
out
it.
With me. There are people gonna be Zoom lensing from across the street as you want to sit on the sidewalk and sip the coffee as if you don't want to be seen. You put your hoodie on with your dark glasses, but you're sitting outside on the sidewalk.
In a neon sweatshirt.
In a neon sweatshirt on a street where you know people are going to see you.
Facing
come on, Max.
Street. Where do you want to like sit? That. I want to sit facing
Max,
the street. Yeah,
Max, come on.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just give you a real quick one. Because I don't like, you know me, I hate telling my personal business in terms of dating history. So there was a young lady I used to see years ago, way before, I mean, this is years ago. And she was in the Hollywood world. And she says, well, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But she takes me to a place where we going to be seen. Like, come on, man.
Right.
You telling me you don't, but yet still we go to somewhere that's hot as fish grease.
Let me explain something about everyone, including me, you, everyone in this business, everyone who makes a living in front of a camera or a microphone. It's all about ego. It's not like you were walking down the street one day and then suddenly this camera dropped out of the sky and put you – no, people in this business, and that includes Hollywood, everything, people in front of cameras have a need for attention. For whatever reason, they all have their own psychological histories and all that. It's a need for attention, period. So if you're dating an actor or an actress, believe me, they want to – even the ones who claim, oh, no, I'm really an introvert. I just want to express my they want attention. They want attention, God. Of course. Really? Nicholas – in North Carolina, we were talking Lamar Jackson's injury. What you got, Nicholas?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Hey, let me say this one thing real quick. You guys are like a cup of coffee in the morning. I can't do without you. The first thing I want to say, Lamar Jackson, you know, he won the Heisman when he was 19 years old. He's 26 now. He's been running around on those legs for like 7 years now. He's got old legs. As far as I'm concerned, if the Ravens give him any more than 3 years guaranteed at say $105,000, $35 million a year, $105 million total guaranteed, they'd be crazy. If they want to give him 5 years, they should only guarantee the three at about $90 million. So he's damaged goods right now, guys. And I think he needs a new mother, because his mother is his agent, and they should have taken care of this deal long ago. So
you don't want to talk about a guy's mom saying he needs.
Wait,
a new
but there's two things but, that yeah. that he's wrong about. Okay, it's two things. One, he's not running around and banged up. He got injured because he landed on his knee in the pocket.
But it is still a big injury.
And wait, not only for him, but there's many quarterbacks that played a long time in college, a long time in the pros, that get banged up and broken up. Kyler Murray just got his money, banged up, broken up, got paid. Okay? Russell Wilson banged up his finger, got paid. Okay? Tom Brady tore his ACL, went on to have a Hall of Fame, best quarterback in the history of the game, paid, no problem. Joe Burrow, ACL, took his team to the Super Bowl, is going to get paid. Now, as far as his mother goes, that's not his agent. She is not a licensed agent, okay? She is instrumental in his life, in helping him navigate through certain things. Not only that, they have qualified people in the background that are lawyers that they refer to and lean on for the help. Lamar is talking to the team. His mother's not a licensed agent, so the teams can't talk directly to his mother. So I just wanted to clear that up.
Hey, Key, I want to mention something now. And there's an obvious racial component to it, because there's oftentimes and you notice it just culturally in our, you know, a lot of when it comes time for treatment of one type of player or person, there's a certain standard set. And then for another type of person, there's another standard set, right? And a lot of times that breaks down along racial lines. We see it in the way people interact with other people, in places of business, law enforcement, et cetera, et cetera. And then also in these situations sometimes, when it comes time for a guy to get paid or a certain kind of guy to get paid, especially if he plays in a way that was stereotypically assigned to a group of people, right? So in the case of Lamar Jackson, sometimes I get the feeling like, for example, with his contract, let's say this guy brings up a point. Hey, this is a pretty big injury he's coming off of. Given his style and the fact that he's put so many miles on his legs, I would be hesitant to give him the max long-term highest money deal. How much of your reaction to that is a knee-jerk kind of like, oh wait, hold on, slow down, time out. Now that it's time for him to get paid, it's somehow different than everyone else? And how much of it is your actual cold football analysis?
It's all football. It has nothing to do with
you
his
see why
race.
I asked the question, though?
No, yeah, but it in certain instances, there are situations that come up that are like that. But I can point to many situations that are not. Dak Prescott broke his foot or ankle, and it was hanging off the bone, okay? Didn't know what was going to happen. Dude got paid. Okay.
Yeah. Top of the market.
They gave him his money before they even knew what he could do again. Right. So, and he's black.
Yep.
Russell Wilson is black and hurt his finger, got traded, got paid. Kyler Murray's been in and out of the lineup his entire career. He's black in the state of Arizona and got paid. So I don't, you know.
Well, listen,
I just
if
think
it was me, Lamar had already gotten 231. As soon as Deshaun signed the contract,
but it's a different. Every organization and owners are different. Steve Bisciotti has always been a guy who rewarded his players. They just paid Roquan Smith after they traded him, so they can use the tag on Lamar to figure out what to do. But there's a lot of the Steve Bisciotti have $240 million to drop into escrow.
So why is it that people, real quick, because we're up against, but why is it that people do seem to want to treat Lamar differently than other quarterbacks? What is it?
He's on a different team.
If
he was on the Cowboys, he'd have got paid by now. If he was on Arizona, he'd have got paid by now. If he was on the Denver Broncos with a new billionaire owner who just bought the team, he'd have got paid by now.
That's why I'm saying there's a chance he might be on another team, because he's going to get paid.
If he was in Buffalo and doing with Josh Allen, doing the same things he's doing now, Brandon Bean would have paid him. It's a different organization, make up different situations and different rules.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Which players can turn this weekend into a big payoff? You know, we love counting people's money, Key. A big payoff. After they signed the DNA. NDA. You have me saying NDNA now. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I like the Giants in this situation, too. I feel like their secondary getting some of those guys back, Adoree Jackson and company. I feel like defensively they could do some things, put some pressure on Minnesota. Minnesota's really good when people come at them with pressure. They don't shy away from blitzing and Kirk Cousins and Jamar Jefferson. But in this situation, I'm just going to take the Giants.
I can Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, are presented by Progressive Insurance. Could big performances by players such as Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, Geno Smith, Brock Purdy, and others, could that have an effect on their futures? Here is O.C. Umenyiora, two-time Super Bowl champion with, here's my shirt, here we go. It's the Our Way New York shirt the Giants sent me. My beloved New York football Giants. Here's Umenyiora earlier on this very program.
Massive game for him, man. Massive game for him. Obviously, he's had a very, very good season. Injury plague last year, but now he has come back to the guy who everybody thought he was. He has to justify the fact that he was the number two overall pick, and he has done that and more. So going into the playoffs, this is where things really, really count, especially if you're a New York fan, if you're a Giant fan. You know the legacy we have there. A lot is riding on this guy's shoulders, and I believe he can actually deliver. So he has to go out there and perform the way we know he's capable of performing. And the New York Giants have to remunerate him. They have to pay him accordingly, and I think they'll do just that.
He's talking about Saquon Barkley. That's the who that he referred to. But he might as well have been talking about Daniel Jones, right? Because both guys. And by the way, and then the same might apply for Geno Smith or Brock Purdy, Key.
Yeah, and look, I don't know about Brock Purdy because you're talking about, what, a six-game run. You're talking about playoffs and maybe to the Super Bowl, but he falls into a Nick Foles situation. where now you got Trey Lance that they gave up a million things for, who happened to get hurt. Okay, we didn't really see him at his full potential, because if you remember, the first game of the year in Chicago was a monsoon. So you couldn't really – that you don't know what that – it's sloppy. You don't know what that is. He never got a chance to take off. In terms of Geno Smith, he'll get something. I don't know what the something is. They'll sign him to a small deal, three-year deal, not too long, because he is up in there, a little bit of age.
Give me the years and the number. Come on.
I would say they probably give him 390. All right. 390 with 60 guaranteed.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, come on, man. That's a come up.
Yeah.
That dude was almost out the league. So
he earned it.
You know, he earned all of it. And then when you talk about Daniel Jones will probably, you know, you've got to pay him, you know, you got to pay him according to his value. Ryan Tannehill-ish, maybe.
3 years.
With a little bit of fluff on it because we're at a different time than when Tannehill signed a couple years ago.
3 years, $100 million, Key? 33 and something like that for 3 years at this point? If he wins a playoff game?
He's probably got to be closer to 35 a year, maybe 36 a year.
3 years, 105? Remember, I said 4 or 5 games in because I knew the price was going
up.
Yeah,
you could give him a
3 years, 75. You said, nah, it's going to be more like 3 years, 90 at the time. I think it
just went up. He's over 100 in my estimate right now. And out of that 100, if you can give him – you can give him 3 years of $115, and 3 years of $115 with about 85 fully guaranteed.
That's if he wins a playoff game. If he doesn't win a playoff game, 3 years, $105. So basically what I'm saying is this playoff game could be worth about $10 million to Daniel Jones.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. Because when you have a guy, it's funny you bring up Tannehill, athletic guy, high pick, like Daniel Jones, first round. He always a bust, and then in the right situation, he looked good. But with guys like that.
Well, he was with Adam Gase.
Huh? Yeah.
He was with Adam Gase.
Well, listen, by the way, same thing with Daniel Jones, right? Bad situation. Yeah. Bad coaches. Okay. With guys like that, though, Key, who don't set the world on fire like Justin Herbert, oh, my God, right? Or Jalen Hurts, look at this guy. With guys like that, I think you have to show that you can be the best version of yourself when it matters most. The other guys, even if you get some diminished version of them, it's still a pretty good player. But these kind of guys who are like guys who watch them go, oh, no, they're good. He's good. But he's not great. He's got to be minimum his normal self under pressure, if not better than that. But, then you earn your money.
But the reason – here's what I'm going to say, man. Just follow me here, Max, and pay attention now, okay?
Listen. Remember, the reason you feel
the reason you feel this way, because Daniel Jones started off bad. The whole thing was bad. What if he'd have started off with Brian Daboll as his head coach in year one?
Totally different story.
Would you be feeling you see what I'm saying?
I do.
So now let's go out west to San Francisco. You want to pay Brock Purdy, right? You want to give him some money.
I give him some dough,
want to give him some money.
Yep.
But guess what he did? He started out what?
Yeah, in a perfect situation.
Right. In a perfect situation where it's like, oh, my God, he's with Kyle Shanahan. He's with the defense. He got Christian McCaffrey. Everything is lined up perfectly.
But Key, they're like Mac Jones was in a good situation last year. And
no,
he was still like.
Nah, that wasn't. Look. They fooled you, made you think that.
No, but that's my point. You never looked
good.
At Mac Jones and said, no, I said he was in a good situation. But even though he was in a good situation in the sense that that Belichick took care of him, didn't ask him to do too much, all that. And even then, we still had questions. I was like, oh, he might turn out to be good. That's a really nice rookie season. But now let's see him take the next step. Brock Purdy, to me, just eyeball test, looks better than Mac Jones did last year. He just
100%.
Looks like he can do a little
bit. Man, it don't even look close to me. Right. I don't care. Dan Orlovsky can come on and tell me I'm crazy. I don't know what I'm talking about all day long. It doesn't look close to me.
Yeah,
look close.
That's what I'm saying. So there's a different. So even when the situation is right, man, you got something or you don't. Guys like Jones and Tannehill and these kind of guys.
But it didn't look right to me in college.
With who?
With Mac Jones.
Okay. But getting off Mac Jones, what I'm saying is when you are good but not great, we need to see you be your best self when it matters most. That's why, to me, the playoffs do loom large for Daniel Jones.
Even if Daniel Jones wet the bed against Minnesota.
Yep.
I'm not going to ding him for that. Mm-hmm. You know why? It's his first playoff experience. Mm-hmm. It's his first shot. Yeah. I've watched many quarterbacks and players wet the bed in their first opportunity.
Lamar Jackson.
It just happened that way.
Yep.
It just sometimes, and I watch guys like Patrick Mahomes go on and do his deal, you know, and take his team to AFC Championship game and was one toe away from going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I get all of that.
Adam in New Jersey, you got about 45 seconds.
What's going on, guys? I'm sorry to bring back this Lamar Jackson conversation.
Let's do it.
But I've been a Ravens fan, diehard Ravens fan all my life. Been to like 7 or 8 games. And all I got to say, first, one thing I want to say is, if Greg Roman is still our OC by next season, I'm not going to spend a single dime on the Ravens. I'm not trying to watch 1960s football, run. So with that being said, I would be down to trade Lamar for a couple first-round picks, get a nice passer, get some receivers in, and just change the whole offensive scheme.
What do you think, E?
I mean, yeah.
I'll tell you what, though.
I mean,
three first
if that's what you if that's what you want to do, then you go right ahead and do it. If that's what you feel you want to do is get rid of Lamar Jackson because you don't think you could do what with Lamar? Win?
Yeah, and even if you think, even when I say the three first-round picks, a bird in the hand, man, worth two in the bush. Okay. In this case, maybe three.
Go get you, what's the dude from Kentucky, Levin? Go on, sign him. See how that work out for you.
The NFL has made a change to a rule that no one's paying attention to, but we ought to, and we will. Keyshawn, J. Willimax.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike. today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Harry and Fitz, baby. 12 noon, 3 p.m.
Who is Fitz?
22 Friday.
Jason Fitz. Don't answer him seriously, Harry. Jason,
the show is called Fitz and Harry. You got to check it out. It's noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You said Fitz or Fitz?
Jason Fitz, co-host of the sensational new hit show, Fitz and Harry. That's noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and watch ESPN. He's hosting the playoff preview with the pros. That's with Keyshawn Johnson and Harry Douglas. You can tune in all weekend to hear it. What's going on, Fitz?
I'm just living that dream, man, having a blast every day, hanging out with my buddy Harry Douglas. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Key, I'd like to introduce you to somebody.
Yes.
This gentleman is named Jason Fitz.
Oh, that's me, yeah. Yeah. Hi, Key.
Hi, Jason.
You know, I thought I was coming on with Larry Johnson. I didn't know it was Keyshawn Johnson, but it's okay. Like, you know, a big UNLV fan growing up, I was really hoping, but it's fine. You know, Keyshawn's good, too.
No, I they kept saying Fritz. I thought they were talking about Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah.
But it's Jason Fitz.
See, the fun fact you didn't need is that my last name is only Fitz. So all the people out there that are like Ian Fitzsimmons at ESPN and Larry Fitzgerald, they're all just stealing my name. Like, I'm only Fitz. Like, everybody else, other Fitz. Like, why not go like Larry Gerald instead of Larry Fitz? You know, why was it Fitzmatrick instead of Fitzmagic instead of like Patrick Magic? I don't know. Like, I'm only Fitz. That's it. Fitz.
You know what? It just reminded me of something. We were talking. I might have to come off the bench.
Wow, what's up?
Play special teams.
Well,
I mean, we deep at the receiver position.
At ESPN?
Yeah, I just realized that. Well, I said Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh.
Larry Fitzgerald. Randy Moss, woo, Harry Douglas.
Well, Randy Moss is starting. We could talk about
Randy Moss
else
is at
after
the top.
That.
That's what I said. I'm going to have to come off the bench.
Nah, you run a three receiver set. You
I'm the fourth guy.
Who's four? Who's
I mean,
three?
Andrew Hawkins works a lot on digital. Had a nice career with the Bills, with the Bengals and the Browns. I like Hawk a lot too. You might have some competition there.
Yeah, Keith, we got to go five wide for me to get in.
I think as long as we account for Randy Moss, you're on the field with the starters, Keith. Jason Fitz.
Yes.
Where do you think the best landing spot is? We've been talking about this a bit today. For Derek Carr, Key and I have talked a lot about the Jets. Someone brought up the Saints. People have talked about the Patriots. Where do you think is the best? Dolphins, maybe, depending on what happens with Tua. Where's the best spot for him?
Yeah, I think, you know, realistically, wherever he goes, he's going to win a lot of football games. Derek Carr's not great, but he's very good. And he has a couple of games a year that make you say, what the hell? I worry about him in New York because, frankly, you know, he's sort of an emotional guy, you know, and you think about the New York media market, what that can do. There's a lot of familiarity with Dennis Allen, and he obviously, I wonder about the Saints. It would make sense there. I think the Jets would offer him a king's ransom. Is that where he would play the best? No. I mean, unfortunately, through all of this, for people that love the Patriots being bad, I think the Patriots are squarely at the top of that list. Josh McDaniels obviously knows everything there is to know about Derek Carr. He calls his buddy Belichick, tells him all the ins and outs. Belichick decides what he wants. But, man, you put him somewhere where there's a little bit of stability organizationally. You put him somewhere where the defense can play. We've seen Derek Carr have very, very good years at times. So I still think Derek Carr can win Super Bowls. I just don't think it was ever going to happen with the Raiders. So I like the Patriots or the Jets the most.
See, I don't like the Patriots, Fitz, because they got to get a new offensive coordinator. The fact that you just mentioned McDaniel, Belichick, I don't think that McDaniel's going to be like, he was this, and this, and we loved him, and I'm like, but you should take him. You know, so I don't think that, you know what I'm saying? It's like he's not going to pull that on Belichick. I think when you look at it on the surface of things, I like the Jets. I like New Orleans. Because I didn't even think about New Orleans. I like New Orleans, and I like Miami if they do something with Tua. New England, to me, just they're not a Super Bowl-ready team. He needs to be with a Super Bowl quarterback-type playoff team. And I don't know that the Patriots are that.
Yeah, Fitz, that's the number one thing. You say, like, oh, McDaniels and Belichick, but if McDaniels getting rid of the guy, right? Like, why would Belichick want him?
Yeah, the only side to that I'd say is that, you know, at least a lot of the reporting when Mark Davis was deciding who to hire, he talked to Belichick, and Belichick was big on you should look at Josh, right? So I wonder, to Key's point, I totally understand that. Maybe you don't want to help the master if you've been the student. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, but, no, it's
no,
not
no, no,
that.
It's that they don't think that much of him, or they get
you
rid of him.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, if I thought of you such, you were the greatest guy in the world and this, that, and the other, but I'm having you walk out the door because, I mean, I'm trying to keep you. I'm not trying to get rid of you.
That all makes a ton of sense until you include Mark Davis in this. And, you know, I think it was The Athletic at the time that said that Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler were comfortable continuing to play Derek Carr through the end of the season. And it was Mark Davis who was like, nope, this thing is done. So I'm not sure that the coaching staff was as out on him.
Mark Davis, they in trouble if they listening to He-Man.
No doubt about that. Like, that's the one thing, and y'all can appreciate this. I think when we look at teams that are bad, so often we look at the coaching, we look at the GM. Like, I think everybody needs to look at their favorite team's owner and ask themselves a really difficult question.
Absolutely.
What happens when your owner sucks at hiring people? Because then all you're doing is repeating the cycle every single time.
Yeah, no, he I didn't know he was meddling, though. It sounds like to me, from you, that he's meddling with the roster.
Well,
by telling them to move on from Derek Carr, you're never going to
Mark Davis is a guy who's shown impeccable judgment his whole life. Just look at the haircut. So he's walking around going, you see this haircut? I could wear my hair anyway, and I choose this. That's because my taste is perfect, and I'm going to apply that to football. You just watch what happens. Why wouldn't they take his word for it?
A He-Man haircut. But there's only one owner that I would listen to when it comes to football. One owner. When it comes to roster X's and O's, one
guy. Jones.
Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
It's the only owner I'm listening to. The rest of y'all, I'm not listening to.
Fitz, what about
Touching it?
Like, the thing I like about the Jets so much is the way I think about it, a defensive generation's about 5 years or so, right? And the Jets have some special defensive players together right now. They just burnt the first year together, right? And they have weapons on offense and everything, and their mistake has been trying to draft and develop a guy. But now that everything seems like all systems go, let's go, you just kind of want to parachute in a competent, professional, experienced, still in his prime quarterback. It sounds like Derek Carr to me.
Yeah, I don't disagree, especially when you look at the weapons they have that he can use offensively, right? So you look at the best years of Derek Carr. When he had Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper both, he had numbers that put him in the MVP conversation until he got injured. When he had, even this year, you know, for all the conversation about does Aaron Rodgers miss Devontae and vice versa, well, Devontae put up massive numbers in an offense that wasn't what it was supposed to be at all. I mean, Derek Carr got Zay Jones paid. Derek Carr got Nelson Aguilar paid. Like, he's been able to do a lot with a little at times, and he's also been able to do a lot with a lot when he has weapons. So, yeah, I think he immediately produces if he goes to the Jets.
He didn't have and look, man, for whatever it's worth, and you know this, Fitz, because you're a Raider fan and you follow this thing much like I do. He didn't have a great coach in John Gruden. I don't care what y'all say. It'd be he get on the board and get to talking about quarterback this and quarterback that. What quarterbacks has he ever coached? Rich Gannon was already a made man when he had him with the Raiders. I mean, like, so when you start talking about the quarterback position, he wasn't in a good position. The best position he was in my opinion, is when he had Jack Del Rio running the show. That was the good position he was in. Then he gets a new head coach in Josh McDaniels who wants things done a certain way. And, you know, as a guy has to be somewhat of a fall guy with a new head coach to begin with. But with that being said, who should the Raiders go after of and what should they do at the quarterback spot now that Derek Carr is – no longer going to be their quarterback?
Think about Mark Davis. We were just talking about what Mark Davis loves. Mark Davis loves stars. The way he built the Vegas Aces, when he bought them, he got as many stars and a star head coach, right? Like, he loves big names. He got Gruden, he got McDaniels. He wants people that are household names. I think if you're the Raiders right now, knowing the way they do business, that means you're either going to try and move up to get the best quarterback in this draft, whether that be Bryce Young, who's a little frail, or C.J. Stroud, who some people have some questions about. You're going to move up to get one of those guys, or you're going to try King's Ransom to make a massive move to get somebody like Lamar. I mean, like, at the end of the day, Mark Davis wants billboards, and you can see that in the way that he does business every step of the way. There is no patience in planning. It's always, who's the super famous supermodel I can put up that will help me feel relevant in the NFL right now? That's
Max
the way
Kellerman.
He does business.
So, Key, this is Jason Fitz. Now you
yes,
can
I know.
Face
Hi.
With the name.
It's we're going to work together, too, Key. It's going to be great.
You know, honestly, yeah, I thought Fitz was short for something. I thought it was a show business name.
Yeah, Jason's going to be hosting a playoff preview with the pros and myself and Harry Douglas. That'll be fun over the weekends during the playoffs. You'll be having an opportunity to listen to our voices.
There you
on
go.
On ESPN Radio. So that'll be fun.
Catch playoff preview with the Bing pros
bang.
With Keyshawn Johnson and Harry Douglas and Jason Fitz, who is co-host of Fitz and Harry, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and watch ESPN. Thanks, Fitz. You appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great show.
Coming up next, Wild Card Weekend is here. We will tell you who wins and why. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America.
Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. And who do we have here? None other than the crazy man himself. I mean, Channing Crowder, former Dolphins linebacker, will tell you things about... All of us have stuff about ourselves that we don't tell other people, because if we did, even though we know they got them too, they'd be like, man, what is the matter with you? And Channing Crowder either lacks that part of his brain or, oh, my God, I can't even imagine the stuff you don't talk about. Channing Crowder, ladies and gentlemen, from the Pivot Podcast. What's going on, Channing?
What's up, man? How y'all doing, brother? Hey, if you can't be yourself, who can you be? Everybody else is taken, baby. I like everyone in the world to understand that what you are is what you are, Max. So, yes, I'm letting everybody know about what I do.
No shame in your game. I love it. I love it, because, by the way, that takes guts, and most people don't really want to show people, like, you know, who they are, right? Because they feel like there's some shame in the game. There is none. How surprised were you?
Who's judging me?
Right. Right. There you go. Yeah, exactly. How surprised were you, or let me ask you this, what was your reaction when you heard Tua was ruled out?
I knew it. Down here, we know it. Three concussions, fellas. Like, it was what's going on in the league now. 10 years ago, I think he could have played, but what's going on in the league right now? I was like, yeah, three concussions, very sensitive topic. And they weren't devastating hits. Like, if Aaron Donald was to dump him on his head, I could see. But they were, you know, just uniform wrap-up tackles, and his head was hitting the ground. So down here in Miami, we were very skeptical about him playing the rest of the season after that third concussion. And then when the Damar Hamlin thing happened, and I was like, oh, yeah, Tua's not going to be there. So we expected at least Teddy Bridgewater. He messes his finger up, dislocates his pinky, and now we have a seventh-round pick in Skylar Thompson. It's not looking good down here.
Channing, you look, we all want to get our money, right? You wanted to get your money. I always want to get my money, and you still want to get your money. Tua's yet to get his money. What's going to happen down in Miami in his future at the quarterback spot with, like you said, these continual concussions, the lightest thing happened, he's out for 6-7 weeks, they got decisions to make.
Oh, that is a situation that Chris Greer and this Dolphin organization have to figure out. I want to say, what they do with the whole quarterback room? Because you have Tua, and think about it. He was balling. He gets hurt. The Dolphins are terrible. He comes back. He plays a 6-game stretch at MVP-level quarterbacking. He was in the talks of the MVP race at the time after he comes back from the first concussion. Then he gets hurt again, and then, you know, you see what happened with the Dolphins, and their offense is nothing right now, even with all the talent. So what do you do? Because this is his last year of his deal coming up. Then he can get that, you know, then he can get, free the tag and all that stuff.
The franchise tag.
But do you lock into him for $250 million? Because that's what quarterbacks are making right now. Do you lock into a guy that you don't know is going to be able to play? Do you bring in a veteran quarterback that's going to compete with him? Like, I saw something about Tom Brady. Do you have Tom Brady competing with Tua? Do you have Tua competing with Tom Brady? It's unfair on both sides with who they are and what they are in their careers. So I would say, if I had to answer that question, if the Dolphins asked me, which I don't know why they would, but if they were, I would say pump your brakes on giving Tua that $250 million deal, because of the fact that if he's available, he's worth it, but we don't know his availability as of now throughout his entire career.
You know, I was telling Max earlier, and Max asked me, what would I do if I was running the team? I'd say I'd have to go to Stephen Ross and you know, whoever, and have the conversation about honoring Tua's contract till it ends and making sure he gets all his money, even on the option. We would pick up the fifth-year option, give him his money, and then have to tell him at the end of the day, we care more about your health than you do playing quarterback for us, and we would have to move on. because the concussion situation is very serious to me. Health issues is very, very serious. And I know he hadn't gotten the bag, and he's played at an MVP level, and maybe this is just a bump in the road and it'll go away from here, but I'm not willing to take that chance. I'm not willing to.
Yeah, Channing.
Oh, no, man. But that's the thing, too. If, like you're saying, let's hypothetically say you're the Dolphins and the Dolphins make that decision, Key. Are the other 31 teams going to feel that same way? Because we're going to give him the rest of his money, but another team might say, okay, we don't know about his health, but let's bring him in as a backup. He's not going to play that much already. But then what if he was to beat out that starter? Because like I say, he has starter ability. So you have to think about Tua Tagovailoa, if he's ready to hang it up. And I'm with you, Keith. Sometimes we know it. You got to protect players from themselves. But you can't end the guy's career unless 32 teams decide that I'm not
going to sign this guy. No, I get the other teams could fall in love and be like, okay. I'm just talking about the blood on my hands as an organization having to deal with that situation. Because once you get one, you've been in the league, man, you know. Once you get one, then you get two, then you get three. It may go away for a few months. The moment you take a shot, when them big old Damacon Sues landing on you and Aaron Donald's dumping you on your head, now I just gave you $150 million.
They didn't protect him, Channing, when, you know, from himself. When he suffered, I'll call it a concussion. They can say it's not documented. He cleared protocol. It was a neurological event when he staggered and then fell and then said it was his back or his leg. Come on, right? He got his bell rung. 4 days later, I counted it, 100 hours after that happened, he's back in the game. And from the fight game, I know, you don't do that because when it happens twice in a row without a lot of time in between, it, like, rewires you. So I think what Key is pointing out is the organization failed him in that respect and has a certain kind of responsibility to take care of him now, right? How do you feel about that whole situation?
Yeah, I could see that approach, but we know this is a league. We know this is a business. We know that if they try to make right financially by Tua, that's taking money out of the real starting quarterback's pocket. It's you know, morally right. Exactly what y'all are saying. I understand what you're saying. But would a team make that decision, which will be putting their success back a couple years? Because now they have to go find another quarterback. Now they got to pay somebody. If they want to bring in, and you hear the rumors, the Aaron Rodgers, the Tom Brady's, the older guys that want to, you know, maybe move to a team. Are they going to sacrifice their success on the field to make it right by Tua? Listen, I work with the Dolphins. I trust those guys. Chris Greer actually drafted me. He was a part of the organization. I don't know if an organization makes that decision.
Channing Crowder, former Dolphins linebacker. He is among the stars, including Ryan Clark, on the Pivot podcast.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that Pivot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that Pivot with Kevin Hart, man. You're a wild boy, though.
Pivot's a good podcast.
No, man, I love vacations.
Y'all don't like vacations.
I love that vacation. I love it, but you know how it go. You know, I left that alone a little bit.
Shannon, there is no shame in
the confidence
his
you need
crowd.
just to walk in your foot.
Oh, no, but I can. Hey, I can. Hey, I got that. I ain't worried about that.
Sometimes you got to throw your chest back. Sometimes you got to pull your pants down. You know, it's a different thing.
This is a family show now, Channing. I don't know what you're doing there on the Pivot. This is a family show. Channing Crowder, ladies and gentlemen. Good talking to you, Channing.
All right, shit.
Appreciate y'all anytime.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Guys, talk about keeping it 100. I say keep it 90, kids. Give yourself some wiggle room. We're back.
That was 1:30 with him.
6 a.m. Greeny
coming up. That wasn't 100. 1:30.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again
by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.